Let's walk around back here and see what we can find Mr. John J. Harper doing outside. It is the Landscape and Garden Hour of Rosie on the House. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. You can text questions to 411-923 or email pictures if you need plant or insect identification to info, I-N-F-O. At rosieonthehouse.com. Sprinklers are going on, so you must be doing a little overseeding right now.
Well, we're right in the middle of that. In fact, I went out and turned my sprinkler controller off this morning because I'm going to mow for the first time tonight when I get home after work. And you don't want it to be soggy wet when you're trying to mow that any time, but especially that first time. So we just help when it looks like it's high enough and needs mowed, you better mow it. You don't want to let it get too long. And then, you know, you have all the nasty things that happen when you got too much grass to try and mow. And it's young, tender, kind of noodly grass anyway. It's that first cut is a little weird. And if it's wet, it makes it even harder because it's, you know, it's just soft and wet. So make sure you raise it up. Don't take much off. Just take a little bit off and make sure you've kind of got it, the water turned off. Then you can kind of analyze. I got a few spots I got to reseed, and that's pretty normal. I probably have a couple places where the sprinklers just don't quite cover as good as they should, so the germination's a little sparse in those areas. You know, plenty of time. We have people all the time ask, is it too late? Is it too late? Is it too late? Well, especially this year, as warm as it stayed, is still perfect temperatures to get that winter lawn in. If you think you've missed it, you haven't. If you need to fill in a little bit, you can. We're doing a little fill-in project for a customer today. Chris Lyles, friend, guy that you know, he had some had a little problem with his sewer line.
Old Horizon classmate.
Had to dig up his front yard after
we
put the lawn in.
I'm sure he'd love to hear we're talking about a sewer today.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of redo his front lawn again. So it's a good time to be doing that, as well as, you know, when we've got these 90-degree days and 60-degree nights, it's about the perfect time to do any planting of trees, shrubs, vines. Still lots of good winter vegetables you can plant. And, of course, you're starting to see now the geraniums come out and the winter flowers. People are switching their flower beds over, so if you're kind of tired of that summer drab, dreary, burnt up, awful look, it's time to do something about it.
And before we get into some of the other planting while we're on overseeding, what is that going to set me back? How many, the seed bags come in, 10 pounds, well, 20 pounds, 50 pounds?
Good question.
What's the coverage? What's the cost?
So we recommend that you use a good perennial ryegrass blend of seed. A pound will do about 100 square feet. So let's say you have the typical 2,000 square foot of grass, maybe a little in the front, some in the back, or you just want to do the backyard. So 20 pounds of seed, you know, may cost you somewhere between $45 and $60. So let's just say $50 for the seed. And you want maybe a little bit of seed starter fertilizer, that's going to be $15 or $20. And you, if you have some thin spots, you might want to throw a little topper or mulch or something over that. So maybe another $15 or $20. So for under $100, you should be able to do about a 2,000 square foot lawn.
Nice.
Now, that doesn't take into account the extra water you're going to have for a few weeks, that sort of thing. But it's your lawn for about 8 months. Mm-hmm. It's your lawn more than the time than your Bermuda is your lawn. From November, December, January, February, March, April, May, 7 months.
And it's the 7 months you want to be outside.
And it's the seven most desirable months to be enjoying your landscape. So, you know, I'm not absolutely, you know, telling you should put in a winter lawn. You've got to do what economically and you feel is best to do. But if you had the choice, I really think you ought to have a really nice winter lawn and not worry quite so much about that summer lawn. And if you're going to put a winter lawn in, then do it with good seed and good, keep it fed, keep it mowed, fertilize it once a month. The other thing you want to do is, as I mentioned, keep it fertilized, because once it gets cold, that will happen someday. I know it doesn't feel like it, but we get a frost, it can yellow that ryegrass out if it's not healthy and green and growing. once that seed is up and like I'm going to mow mine, then I will cut the water back. Instead of watering it three or four times a day, I'll probably go to once a day for a while. Next mowing, I might go to then to every other day. Hopefully by then, it starts really cooling down. And there's been years where if we've had a rain every couple of weeks, you can conceivably not even have to water your ryegrass for a month or two in the wintertime. So doesn't take a ton of water once it gets up and gets established.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to get on the line as we start with Jim in Phoenix. Good morning and welcome to the program.
I had a comment and then a question. I bought a 20-pound bag of perennial ryegrass. I'm in central Phoenix, the old part of Phoenix, and I planted the front lawn for one of my neighbors. And I noticed on the bag, the tag of the seed, there's three blended seeds, and two of the blends are from Oregon, and one is from Canada. And so some of the seed came from Canada this year. Last year it came from Denmark. It's the same price. And one of the things I've noticed now, I planted a week ago, and the Bermuda is coming up. And I'm assuming Bermuda, I'm wondering what kind of effect will the Bermuda have on the perennial rye once that starts growing. I'm assuming the Bermuda will stay green until the frost in December.
Yeah, that's a great point that you brought up. And that's one reason we do encourage people not to put their winter lawns in
too early.
Wait until about the middle of October. But this year, even waiting until the middle of October, the Bermudas have come back. It's staying warmer. So what will most likely happen when you get that first frost, you're going to find out what your stand of ryegrass really is and how good it is. What you may conceivably have to do sometime in mid to late December, if that happens, is mow that lawn a little shorter again because that Bermuda grass has creeped up in and grown up with the ryegrass, and you could end up with some browning, some thatchy browning in your ryegrass. Happened before, and the best remedy for that is just take it down a notch or two, mow it short, then the Bermuda won't come back, and then let the ryegrass, you know, recover and come back, and it'll cover it up.
It adds time and cost, but that's why I like to overseed, put soil on top. I know you really don't need it to do it as early as I did it, but it lets me see the ryegrass coming up versus...
True.
Because my backyard, I haven't done that yet, and it's still green. I haven't watered it in 6 weeks, and half of it's still green.
Right.
But my front yard, I got it all the seed down, overseed, and I can tell exactly where my bare spots are, and I can get out there and manicure my perfect little front lawn.
It does increase your germination rate and your evenness of germination by covering it with a topper of some type. And we do encourage you, if you wait till a little bit later even than this, and it does get cooler, that it does help keep some warmth around the seed and help that way as well.
We have a text in from a 480 area code, wants to know what Texas sage has the deepest green leaf color, and will Texas sage survive in an irrigated lawn?
Well, probably Heavenly Cloud is the darkest green foliage that comes to mind quickly. So I particularly like it. I think it's a moderate size grower, and it has a nice dark green foliage. If it's in a lawn area that's flood irrigated, sure, it will do fine there. Now, as a new plant, you may have to water it a little more, but it's a very drought tolerant. It'll go a couple weeks between waterings just fine. So sure, it'll do great.
Appreciate the text. It's 411-923 to get into the studio that method. Vegetables.
So anything you can eat the leaf of, the root of, or part of the stem of, it's time to plant. Those are our cool season vegetables. So, you know, leaf lettuce and chard and head lettuce and spinach and kale and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cabbage and carrots and beets and turnips and
everything your kids won't eat.
You know what? What really helps, I think, with kids is have them be a part of the process. If they've planted it, watched it grow, they're going to be more inclined, I think, to want to try and eat it and sample it. And, of course, just getting them to try things is half the battle. And once they try it, generally they'll like it, unless you're growing kale, which I don't know of anybody that really honestly likes kale. We eat it because it's good for us. Put it in soup, kind of camouflage it.
What are you having filet mignon and kale?
That wouldn't be my first choice to have my kid's first experience with a leafy green. It wouldn't be kale or collard greens or mustard or anything like that. You know.
Too late for seed starters? Should we be looking at plant starters from the nursery?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, the soil's still not, and that's the beauty of fall planting. That soil's going to stay warmer longer than the air. So the soil doesn't cool down as fast. So you've got, that's the great combination of fall planting, whether it's vegetables or seedlings or planting a tree or shrub, is that you've got warm soil and cooling air.
1-888-767-4348.